Velgenpoor. It's Parsha Shmini. The it's the Rambam in Morna Vuchim is the first piece, and he speaks about a certain facet of Karbanis that are sort of Mida Keneged Mida and remind you of what you did wrong. So he says, "Kvazocha chom tamis a korb miyoshminish meluim egel ben bokel lechatos lechapel ma'ase egel." The reason why the carbon on the eighth of the meluim was an egel ben boker to be mechapel ma'ase egel, the egel egel. The same thing with chatos yom kippur, he says, is also par ben boker, and he says, and he thinks for the same reason, the chatos for the yochid netzibar all seirim, like Sierra Golem, Serge Chodesh, and so on, because being, he says, he yois roiv meriom bechatosom oz bakrivam neseirim. Most of the averis were done by being makif to seirim. The Rambam, the Rishonim say the seirim were like the shadim, they were forms of Avodah Zarah, and the Pasuk says, well, yizbuchu oidesifcheim neseirim, Hashem Zonim Achreim. So Seirim were a sort of a general genre of Avodah Zarah and Kohos, etc. Chachomim, he said, Chachomim Zal Somutam Yis Kaparas Tzibol Oilem B'Seirim. Why? Because Kol Yisrael was Choyte B'Seir Izim by Yosef HaTzadik when they sold him off and they were Tovo his Ketonus and Seirim. So he says, "V'lo yizeh tam chalush beinecha." Don't make light of this reason. You know, like this is connected. This and that. What does that mean? He says, "Ki kavanas kol eila pulos." The purpose of all of these karbanis is liyashiv benefesh kol chotei v'chol ish meri shetzorach lisko lahaftichet otamid. It's there to constantly remind a person of what he did wrong. K'mo she'ama v'chatosi negdi tamid. It means that a person needs to bear in mind his chet. We deal with chatoim by trying to forget about them, by sort of shoving it out of our minds and not thinking about it. The Torah forces us to confront our various we did. V'shetzorech kapar lachet ahu, hu v'zara v'zara zaroi, v'avoyde shetim in ameriahu. So the kapara is that needs to be done is something that uses the same type of inyan, the same type of karma, and so on. What I mean to say is, shemiya meri b'mamon, person did not bear with mamon, he has to spend money for it. If the meri was banos gufo, then a person indulged his guf and taivis. He needs to work hard and break himself, whether it's Avoda Sa'inui, Tzom, Velokim Velelos, V'imiya Meri B'mida Min Amidos, and if the problem, if his Avera is one of the Midas that are bad, Yami Kineg the Bevchamidi, he needs to go to the other extreme, like he explains in Avos Deis. V'imiya HaMeri B'iyun, if the Avera was an Avera of understanding, belief, etc. So in the Lema, Sheyamin Das Bilti Amitis, because he believed in something that was wrong. Lekoitzi Atzichle Vishrashna Hakir Vishakliyun, because he relied on his Seichel in a very, very casual, sort of flippant way. He kind of, oh, this is what I think is right. I didn't think into it well enough. Yamoit Kinegda Vipinas Machshafte Mikol Dovinyane Oilam Rakbe Muskalavad. He needs to start focusing and pushing his mind to think and to try to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'diktik b'mashatach she'amin be'emes. He needs to occupy his mind with things that he really needs to believe. And then he brings a pasuk from Eov. Then he says, k'moy she'tire mashenase ba'aren. You see it from what Aaron happened when he sinned with the eagle, his carbon and the carbon of all the people and all of the children of Aaron would always be a par of the eagle. And when the Seirim, and when there were problems with Seirim, they had to bring a carbon of Seirim. The V'yitzdorech lekapara aruka v'toreach. He needed a long kapara process and a lot of work. V'efsha shelo tushlam kapara. And it's possible that the kapara is not finished. V'yishama odem b'avozer menachet mitchilos in yivyach menu. And when a person senses how difficult it is to do tshuva, that will act as a preventive from doing averis. So the Rambam is saying that the big picture is that a person needs to go away from his chet and bend over the other ways. The way he describes it in the Sotei Torah and Deis is sort of if something is bent, let's say you have a metal rod that's crooked in one direction, you obviously need to bend it back. But if you bend back something that's crooked, let's take that as an example. Something that is a crooked rod, if you will bend it to its straight upright position, it will tend to sag back again because the crookedness has developed a change in its sort of natural direction. What you need to do is twist it back so that you give it an opposite twist that's sort of equal to it, and then let it in the middle. So in general, a person's tikkun faveiros is going in the opposite direction, depending if it's taivas, if it's indulgence, he needs asceticism. If it's midos, he needs the opposite mida. If it is a problem in hilchas deos, and the Rambam is very interesting. There's a piece here that's unsaid. It means that it's not. Let's take an example. A person ate treif. So, a very very shallow way of this type of tikkun would be okay. If you ate treif, you should fast. Or I don't know. Treif is gematria 289. Give $289 to Kupas Ir or something. The question is not what did you do. The question is, what was going on when you did it? One person ate treif because he craves delicacies and there was nothing kosher that compares to the treif of stuff. One person ate treif because he was at a social gathering and he was embarrassed not to do what he had to do. Not to pick up an hors d'oeuvre and eat it. One person ate treif because he was very, very angry at his parents and he decided he's going to get revenge by eating treif and embarrassing them. A fourth person looked at the Torah, said, nah, this was probably just in the old days when treif probably had some problems with it. I don't think there's any problem with it. Those are same Aveira on the technical side, same Malkus for Bezin, but the Tshuva process is four different processes. Ein Adoma, the person who's got a problem with indulgence, and his tikkun would be to learn how not to give in to any cravings, even kasha and mutter. The person who has a problem with the social issues needs to learn how not to be embarrassed, to stand his own, and so on and so forth. Very, very different tikkunim. So he says, and he gives a fascinating another way of looking at what is the avera of kfira. We ask ourselves, what is the avera of kfira? So it's easy for us to say the people who have an outside agenda. The people who have an agenda that they want to eat treif, so they rationalize it. That's an easy one. But how do we deal with kfira on a deeper level than that? These are all statements of assumption that most of the time that kfira is only a fig leaf for something else. It says like love yourself with a zara, let him a sarayis, and Rabbi Chanan says that people make them that in seichel it would be easy to make a determination about what's emes, but people tend to they want to indulge in taivas, so that's why they use these inyanim as an excuse. That's true for many cases. You know, it's certainly we use different inyanim to explain away our averus by sort of attacking head on the religion itself. Fine, that there is definitely an emes to that, but the Rambam understands that it's not shayach that the it's not shayach that this would be the only avera in Yisorei Torah and in Deus. Doesn't make any sense that would be that the whole area of Emunus and Deus, the whole arena of problems would be only as regards other inyanim. The Rambam holds that in Emunus and Deus itself, there must be a Yetzirah. There must be something which goes to the heart of what these things are. So the Rambam Shita is that the core of Emunus and Deus Tovos require an extraordinary eon. In other words, a person, the pyramid of Yiddishkeit is the understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and everything about it. That's the core of Yiddishkeit. According to Rambam, that's the Tam of all the mitzvahs. So that is something a person needs to be osik in. But it requires an extraordinary mental effort of yigia, that is of a person who has das and is pure from taivus to get to the emes. If a person doesn't have that, he's not going to get to the emes. So and what happens is people are eager to have their deus and shitas, and they therefore they take shortcuts in the thinking process, and that's where they come from mistakes. Just like we can understand it on a simpler level, a person is asked a halacha, and he needs to be oimid on the emes and halacha needs a lot of iyun and work and so on and so forth. The person is lazy, so the person doesn't want to do it, so he just kind of skips out. The person says, okay, this is a din. But you didn't spend the extra hour resolving all the nekudas and getting to the bottom of it. So that atzlus in thinking and in being misagei on it is the sheirish of kefir and so on, according to the Rambam. Sometimes you see a story or an example, I guess sort of it serves as a caricature of it, but there was a person yesterday who came over to one of the rabbanim in the community. This person is an elderly gentleman, somewhat learned, not never really studied, never was a big Talmud Chacham, but you know, he has a sort of a superficial knowledge of a few different things, and also likes to put forth his deis and shitas that are not really based on terrible much study and so on. And he comes over and he says he has come to the conclusion that Vayikra Rabba is not a real medrash. It was made much, much later, and it's not, you know, it's not original work. It's to which the other Rav said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He said, "Well, he's seen that neither the Malbum nor the Torah Tmima bring down the Medrash Rabba and Vayikra. So obviously, it's a very late work." Now, the statement is incredible. First of all, the Malbim, yes, the Malbim Vayikra and Bamidbar and Devarim actually deals with the Halacha Medrashim. That's the way he set it up, because that's the Ikar of it, and the Embraces, he deals with the with the Medrash Rabba, because that's the Ikar of it. And it's brought down to Rishonim millions of times, which he replied to him, said, you know, Ramban brings it down. So he says, well, I'll have to take a look at that and see if that's genuine also. But it just, the person is an utzel in wanting to look into it, and that's where those mistakes come from. Next piece is a piece of Rabbeinu Bechaya, and he speaks about the number eight. This is, it's called Parsha Shmini, and it has a lot of eights to it. He says, Chinuch kehuna gdoila b'yom shmini kolol otam echot. The reason why the Kohen Gadol was the Schanech on the eighth day has another point to it. V'hu, shematzinu sh'ro b'nyan ha'mishkan v'amikdash soiv v'chaz m'shmoyna. You find a lot of eights. The big day Kohen Gadol is eight, list them. The Bois Mishah Mishra Kteris were eight. The Badim were eight. Two Bari Oren, two Bari Shulchan, two Bari Mizrach Zov, and two Mizrach Ha'ola. Karbonis, that they were makriv was after 8 days. The Shir of the Levium, there were eight different compositions, Lamatzeach, and so on and so forth. And so Rabbi Chaya notes that. Now, it doesn't quite explain it. The explanation is kind of obvious, but it has to do with the fact that 8 is always Meramis, the things that are beyond Teva, 7 is the world of Teva, 8 is the world of things that are beyond Teva, and that's why it has to do with numbers 8. We explained a few times, or it's worth just repeating over again. people understand 8 is beyond Teva, sort of that's number 8. The truth is, that's not really the right way of putting it. Let's take an example. The most basic 7 is the week. So I can say in one day, today's Sunday, Monday is in one day, Tuesday is in 2 days, and so on. Or counting from Shabbos, today is the first day, then the second, the third, the fourth day. I can do that till 7. When I get to 8, I have to start from the bottom again. There is no 8. In the numbering system of the weekday, there's no 8. Just like there's no 10 in the digital numbering system. A 10 means the beginning of a new class. The amount of things that I have is 9, and 10 means I basically have to start the process all over again. I have a new unit, and I have to start working with 10s because the units are exhausted. 7 days are the maximum amount of different days in the world of nature. 8 is not an entity in itself. 8 means beyond 7. That's all it means. So anything that had to do with the Mikdash or the Mishkan belonged to that realm of beyond 7, and all has to with 8. The next Rabbeinu Bechaya also brings down, he says, Yom HaShmini Azer Shchedesh Nissan Shebei Hukam HaMishkan V'not La'Sara Toros. It took 10 crowns. Kloima Esa Minei Kavod U'Mailas Kavzabos HaYom. 10 different godless and chshivasen happened that day. It was the first of the Leshnas Seis Mitzrayim, a year from going out of Mitzrayim, the first day of Kunas Aaron. It lists all of it, all 10 things, the Rishon Asherah Shechina, Rishon Korbanos HaNesiyim, and so on. V'chein Loshon Toros Kanim, Osei Omnotel Asara Toros, Rishon Maaseh Breishis, Rishon Nesiyim, Rishon LeKohuna, Rishon LeAvoda, and so on. The number 10 over here, in other words, the eighth day takes 10 crowns. Let's give it a bit of a brief explanation. The Akadosh Baruch Hu's and Haggis in the world are listed either as 7, like by Sfiras Homa, every week is dedicated to another Anhaga Baruch Hu, or 10. You have this, doesn't have to start in Kabbalah. It says the world was created in 7 days. It was created by Sarah Mamaris. It was created with 10 utterances, but it took place over 7 days. To sort of explain it in a very, very, very simplified way, 10 includes the thought process that goes into something, the thought process, the planning process, etc., the very hidden aspects that don't come out, And whereas seven includes all the visible aspects, the things that actually we see. So it's one way of looking at it, so it's the eighth day, meaning in terms of days, this is, we finished the entire process and now we're beyond the process. When you're talking about crowns, in other words, what activities were culminated on this eighth day, then the answer would be 10, which means the entire complement of everything that was supposed to be expressed was expressed in that day. So sometimes you'll find 7 and 8, sometimes you'll find 10. It's the best reference is the 10 mamaris and the 7 days. 7 days means, in physical terms, there are only 7 entities. In the process that went into it, which are the utterances of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the saying of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those are 10. Okay. The next one is a Truvas HaRosh, actually, and it's fascinating that Rishonim speak about this sometimes in Truvas and so on, where he explains different Haggadah issues. This is so he says, the person, someone asked him the following question. It says there were 4 reasons why Nadav Aviu were nifta. Rav Levi says, so Shtui Yayin, Rav said, Begodim, Rav Levi says, Mi'ilo Yechaserim, Oksive Misa. So this person asked, well, they weren't, what do you mean they went in Shtui Yayin? They were not warned about it. He says, that's not a kash, because it's Imukta Mukha Batera, and so on. He goes back on he goes back and forth on whether it was whether they were already mitzvah, not mitzvah. Fine. And he says it's very interesting. He says even though in Chazal say the Rosh's position is that the Tzivan Shtuyan was before, and he says even though Chazal say Lom Nischapash Shtuyan Lemisus Tnei Aaron, he says Medrash Ba'alma Hu Lidroish Smuchin. In other words, Chazal don't mean to say that this is a fact how it happened, but this is why there's a juxtaposition in Torah. It's not very important, you saw the way he understands it. That when the Torah put it, that when Chazal explained A as being the cause for B, they're explaining why the Torah puts it there, not why it happened like that. He said, obviously, they received full instructions before they went into the Beis HaMikdash. They had to be told not to go in Shtui Yayin. So that he deals with the issue of Shtui Yayin. Umasa Shalti says, you asked, Hora Amar Ablevi Mi'il Hoye Chaserin. Well, a Mi'il would be the Kohen Gadol. What does it mean they were missing a Mi'il? A Kohen Gadol wears a Mi'il. No one else wears a Mi'il. They would have been puzzled. Heilech Tshuval Zeh. So it says, Chamesh Smachas HaYashev Yisrael Bnei Yisrael Ve'evil Echad. And he goes through all the different it says Benos Sgan, her son was a Sgan. Uskan hu amemuna l'shamesh taska in Godel kishiiro leituma. A Sgan is somebody who's there ready to do the avoda in case the Kohen Gadol become possible. V'amina behurius the Sgan mishamesh v'nei begotim v'kol lahosem mishuach shabbat. So the Gemara does say that a skan is mishamish shpani begodim, and a son was a skan. So he says, v'im benafshal loyma, maybe you'll tell me that's only true that it's only true by someone who, it's only when it becomes possible to kain gadol the skan is mishamish tachter, but not, and also, what about Avihu? This is a different reason. Since they brought Ktoiris that Hashem was Mitzavah, so it's 2 things. First of all, the Pasuk says he brought Ktoiris, which they shouldn't have. And also, Lishitosam, they should have been wearing a me'il. So one nekuda, I want to give the Rush says that you're not supposed to go in lefnai lefim. We saw before it's midas derech eretz to go in when you're knocking on the door. So even if they were wrong, they weren't allowed to go in at all, but to go in without quote unquote knocking, it's a double chet. So when he says that the me'il was something which was there, the lack of me'il was something which what they chayv misa for, it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was tovea the din evenly shitasam. Even they understood differently, but if according to their understanding they were also doing something wrong, they'll be punished for it. And then it says v'hai taima sagi. That reason is enough. Shekein derech balagoda al smach kol dehu b'nei divrehem. So I want to explain what the Rosh says. It's a very, very powerful statement. So basically, the person asked him from Chazal that learn up the Parashah because this and this, and the Rosh answers that the main reason was like it says in the pasuk. And then he seems to say, "Shekein derech balagoda al smach kol dehu b'nei divrehem," as if he's chas v'shalom minimizing the role of balagoda. I think that what he means to say is the balagoda is his darshing of the psukim is not there to give you pshuto shel mikra. The agoda is teres emes mitzar atzma, but it doesn't have a din of pshat. So when Chazal gave you different inyanim, those inyanim are chatoyim. Those inyanim were present in some aspect of their behavior, but it's not meant to be read back as the pshat the pasuk. I think that's what he's saying. He's saying that, you know, the smach in the pasuk for agoda is minimal. It's not coming with rayas and echreichim in the pasuk, and that it should be returned back again to the pasuk. But rather, it's something which is it's meant to be an emes on its own, and its relationship to the pasuk is minimal. Okay, one more piece. We'll see here the Akedah. The Akedah says over here that was the chet also. Vayavu Moshe is actually a small piece of Akedah for a change. Vayavu Moshe an oil moed lo menichas Moshe m'aron l'lam al ma'asek teres. Hine says hein pikpiku b'inyan ahu shem ma'aseim garmu. They were afraid that what caused the death was that Torah is a dangerous, it's a hazardous material. It catches fire very quickly. They thought that this is a process that triggers either spiritual or physical fire, and it's dangerous because it's inherently dangerous. And that's why Korach, when he took the pans with the fire, they said, you know, we can figure it out.
So he says
their problem was that they understood the process to be an automatic process rather than an expression of Ratzon Hashem. And let's put it in terms that we can really get a sense of it. Let's say a person is about stock. It gives stock.
people come to him, and he particularly likes people who are real lamdanim. So if a person says a ktsais and he asks on it and he answers on it, he likes that type of person, he relates to him well, and he gives. Somebody else he particularly likes people who went to Chassidus Shavarta, and anyone who says over a word from a rabbi he didn't hear yet is also. So these people arouse my ratzon. I like that type of person. I'm inclined to give to him. They have collector's lists. I've actually seen one where they have addresses of gvirim that are noted to give money, and also little notes in each one. This one likes kachim. This one you have to yell and scream at him. This one there's no rat. So let's say I'm answering the door. Let's pretend I'm the gvir. I'm answering the door, and I like people who tell me Torah on kachim. And this person comes with shtickl and kachim, and I see that he has it noted and marked down, and he came prepared for it. I will probably throw the person out real far, because it's manipulating. It's not because you kachim, and the person yells screaming, but I said something on kachim on a list that says that you're going to give money if I say on kachim. That will redouble my resolve not to give him anything. If it's something that's there, it arouses my rutzen, and yes, and it makes me want to give. But if the person treats it as a button to push and the money comes plunking out automatically, I'll be very upset. The same way, it's one of the reasons why we enjoy people that think favorably of us. But if we decide somebody is flattering us, he wants to get a favor out of us, we will take issue with it. It's not going to be pleasant. The herd that you can trigger Ashras Ashchina, that's terrible. Vinu mevua, kizeh pikpuk v'aligo shikar ilu nashim b'maitu ha'godl, v'efshar ha'kud maitu sibas chazokas. V'ne chachomim zal le'kid ma'reyam she'vim elov, v'sosnat v'an le'kidakon b'chol k'yaita b'deh. V'omash le'efshar le'kid ma'arva suga sibas en so b'chol pulis. He goes through the, what Takeda had done before was, he went through the four different reasons that Chazal gave with the same problems and kashas. Each one of them has a lot of kashas, and whoever had asked the Baal HaKedah made light of Chazal because of it. And the Baal HaKedah says, and he explains each one, we didn't bring all the arichos, how each and every one of the time they gave us points at this point. The main nekuda was they heard the process of Mishkan to bring Ashras HaShechina as an automatic process instead of a rotten aleiki. And in each one of these L'shaynis Chazal is Meramez in a different way, and we don't have it here, and I'm not going to go through it. But Akopanim, it's a very important understanding. Whenever you take something out of mitzvah, and you find somebody went to the stipler and his daughter wasn't married and she was older, and the stipler asked, did you ever make a kiddush? And he said, no, he hadn't. Go make a kiddush. So now it's become like kiddush kadoshim, yahari val yavr, make a kiddush even if it's in kippah, but you got to have a kiddush because she'll be single if not. It's not the way it works. In other words, he picked a certain nekuda. Chiyuvim achiyuvim. Other minyanim, they have to go with a certain teichim to it. There are no mitzvahs that are physical realities, in the sense that in an ATM machine, you can say vatel, not say vatel. If you put the right card in and you punch right numbers, even if you kick the machine, it'll deliver the money. You can do whatever you want. It's not a question. It is an automatic process. But a person is giving money, it's not an automatic process. You can't say to stick on kachim and have tainus why the dollars didn't come out. The avoida of Ashras HaShechina is Ratzon Hashem. And if a person does it to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem, then there's Ashras HaShechina Ma'asiyot. But if the person turns into a game that he can manipulate Chas V'Shalom Ashras HaShechina, that thing is not, then it becomes a terrible avoda. And Chazal in the Lashon described each aspect of that in. Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.